Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. For additional information, check us out at fconline.tv.
Will you bow your head with me in prayer? Jesus, thank you that you came to set us free. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you want to be a part of our life. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to have relationship with us and that you want to bring us joy and you want to bring us to a place of salvation, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here with us tonight. And I thank you for the word that we are about to hear. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Ladies, you are privileged tonight, and I am honored to be able to introduce to you the person that is going to be speaking tonight. Most of you already know who that is, so it's not like I have a big secret that I get to tell you. But I am very, very thrilled to be able to introduce this person to you. From the moment I met her, she makes me laugh, she makes me smile, and I appreciate her desire and her burning passion to know the Word of God and to breathe the Word of God and to live the Word of God out loud. And she is humble, she is kind, and she's an amazing mother and an amazing wife. And she will make you laugh. And so I would love to introduce to you tonight the person that is going to be bringing the Word of God to us. And I also just want to tell you that I know that she takes every word that she is sharing tonight very, very seriously. She has put hours of prayer and work into the message that she is going to bring us. And so I'm beyond excited to hear everything that she has to share with us. And I'm amazing, and I'm excited to see the amazing things. I'm amazing. I'm excited to see. That's my little pep speech I give in the morning to myself. I guess I was letting you in on a secret. Okay, so. All right. So, anyways, that was horrible. Okay, so I am so excited because I know that God is amazing and God is going to do amazing things through this woman tonight. And so I want to welcome to the front of the room, to the stage, Mrs. Haley Lambert. Thank you so much.
There's a reason I picked her to do the announcements. That was so good. I need to take your temperature real quick. How are you? Okay. All right. I got it. This is our first big Her event. It's so exciting. Lots of faces I recognize. Recognized, actually. Can't see any of you right now. But and lots of you who I don't recognize. I haven't met you before, and I'm so glad you're here. You are so welcome here. We're so glad you're here. But I wanted to tell you, for those of you who haven't heard me speak, I am not a preacher, but I do preach a little bit. I'm not a teacher, but I do teach a little bit. I hope that I'm an encourager, and I aim to be an exhorter. But more than anything, what I think I am is a storyteller. I love to tell stories. I love how God reveals himself through the stories of our life. And what is so awesome about that is that there's nothing special about me, that everyone in this room, and actually everyone listening online also, has that same gift and same ability to tell the stories in your life, to look for God in your story. So all of you could do what I'm doing. I just do it in a microphone because I've done it a lot. But you all get to tell a story too. So tonight, what I'm actually going to do is tell you some stories. I want to tell you a story about a really bad breakup. I don't know. I want to tell you a story about my breakup with fear. Have you ever had a really bad breakup before? I'm sorry if I'm causing trauma for some of you, because I know it gets really bad. Like the kind of breakup where you're, you know, it's not working out, so you try to end things, and the guy turns out to be like a raging psychopath and like stalks your family, and you have to get a restraining order against him, maybe a stalking order. He shows up in public when you're out with your family, and you never know when he's going to be there. You go out, sometimes you come back, you find your tire slashed and bricks through your window. Anybody had a breakup like that? Don't raise your hand, but there's a lot of psychos out there. They need Jesus. I think that my breakup with fear was kind of like that. That's what I think of when I think of my breakup with fear. And there were times that I thought that relationship could actually cost me my life. But it didn't. It actually became one of my greatest teachers. So I'm on a rescue mission tonight with you ladies. I want to help you get rescued from fear. Not just tonight. We're actually, as a whole, as a ministry, we're on a rescue mission against fear and anxiety all month long. Amy talked about our Her page that we want you to like our Her page. The reason why is not because we want to be more popular. It's because we put out every week, every Wednesday morning, we put out devotional content. The team of speakers and writers who are leading this ministry, they put out a thought for you. And this month, the month of January, is wholly devoted to fear and anxiety. So you want to, that's why we want you to like that page, by the way. Last week, Erin Rodriguez had the vlog, and she talked about her experiences with anxiety. She did a fantastic job. And yeah, every week. So here's the thing. We have all different ages and stages of life, the women who are on our team. So maybe one week you're like, that doesn't really apply to me. Well, the next week, one of them might. So we are just going to start off January 2018 just beating the crap out of fear and anxiety. That's our plan. So before I start with my stories, I need to unqualify my disqualifier. When I knew I was supposed to talk about fear, I felt this huge resistance. And I was like, what is this that I'm feeling? Why do I feel so like I'm supposed to do this, but that's the thing I felt. So I finally sat down, and I'm like, what am I hearing? What am I feeling? What is going on? And I just kept hearing this word, unqualified, unqualified, unqualified. You are not qualified to talk about fear and being set free from fear. And so I dug into that a little further, tried to figure out why would I be unqualified to talk about fear? And there's one word that describes why I felt unqualified to talk about fear, and that word is snakes. I have a disgusting, almost 38-year-long phobia, legit phobia of garter snakes. The Lord put on my heart not to say that I hate them anymore, because I know, also I'm not supposed to call them evil serpents anymore, but I know God made them. They're his creation, and he said that they were good, but I don't care for them, and that's putting it very mildly. I've made progress. I can like look at them in books now, and I can even touch the pages, and that's a big deal. I can't do it without a gag reflex and nightmares that night, but actually even just talking about them right now, I feel like they're on me, to be honest. Susan was asking me earlier, why do you keep messing with your skirt? It's because I feel like there's snakes on me, because I'm talking about them. Anyway, I really like, I know some of you, but some of you don't like spiders. I don't mind spiders. I'll play with spiders. Spiders crawl all over me. I'll eat them. I don't care. Snakes? No. I am so afraid of snakes. So as I listened to my disqualifier that was coming to me, I thought, you know, this does not sound like the loving voice of my father that I've come to know and love so well. So I had to speak to the voice and say, God has delivered me, will deliver me, can deliver me anytime he wants to from snakes. And I look forward to that day of deliverance. But until I fully experience that with my whole being, I have a lifetime of being set free from fear that I can share with you as a testimony. So I just needed to say out loud, for my own sake, just because I still battle with the snake phobia does not mean that I cannot tell you about the freedom from fear. So that was for my sake that I had to tell you that. So here's my story. As long as I can remember, as far back as I can remember, I had terrible nightmares. I don't know if any of you had nightmares as a child. I had nightmares usually about animals. When I was a child, we had these things called video stores. So you would go to a store to rent a movie, and there was this movie that was called Pet Cemetery, and I think it was like a bunch of dismembered animals or something. And so I had nightmares for years just from one movie cover. And so I would have nightmares that there were dismembered, usually cats, honestly, dismembered cats outside my bedroom window at night. Or a lot of times I would have nightmares that the animals would just appear by my bed in the night. And I would scream for my mom, and she would come. Well, one night I had a nightmare that there was a cat next to my bed. And I screamed bloody murder. My mom came in. Oh, what is going on? There was a cat next to my bed. Like, somehow some stray cat got into our house, hid under the bed until I went to sleep and made itself known. Yeah, it's funny now. So fear gained a little bit of power in my life through that experience. Then I had this fear that my family would break up when I was little. I think one of my friends, their parents had got divorced or something, and I just remember it like crippled me inside, crippled my heart with fear. And I would ask my parents when they would tuck me in at night, promise me you won't ever get a divorce, promise me. And of course we promise you, because no one ever goes into a marriage thinking, I'm going to get a divorce. Like, that's not part of the vows. So I would never want to dishonor my parents. I love my parents, and they were amazing parents, but that happened. My family broke up, and my worst fear came to pass. So fear gained a little bit of power in my life there. Then when I described to you my relationship with fear being like a crazy psycho. Well, there was actually one of those too. There was a bad man in my life. And all the things I mentioned that could happen, that there was a man who did those things to my family and hurt my family, and I hated him. And he did stalk my family and all the things I said. And a lot of times I would go out in public, and he would be there. I lived in fear of seeing him, of running into him all the time, and a lot of times I would. And so fear gained some power through that man. And then when I became 16, I became a Christian. And some time had gone by, and so I wasn't having cat nightmares anymore. Those of you who know my issues with animals, when I was putting this message together, I was like, I wonder if this has anything to do with all my animal problems. But anyway, the nightmares went away. The bad man was gone. The family that broke up, God started showing me that he had a plan through all of that, working this redemption plan. And fear took on a new form for me. And this part's kind of weird, but it's just what happened, so I got to say it. I talked to a professional Christian counselor, and he said it's actually really normal. So probably some of you have experienced this. When I became a Christian, I would lay in bed at night at 16, and this evil presence would come in my room and torment me and paralyze me, and I couldn't speak, and I couldn't move. It was darkness, and it would just hover over me, and it made no, it was very clear who it was. It was fear. It was nothing. It was just fear. And it would whisper to my mind over and over and over again the same thing. God cannot save you. Jesus will not rescue you. I am going to destroy you, and there's nothing you could do about it. That's what happened to me after I got saved. Evil. Fear. It was fear. And sometimes I couldn't speak. Sometimes all I could do was whisper Jesus' name. Sometimes I would scream out, and my dad would come and pray over me. High five to good dads. And every night this happened for months. So fear gained some more power there. And then one night, I went to church. I went to a church service, and the pastor got up. It was one of those times when I didn't want to go to church. I was not in the mood to go. I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to go. I got all this other stuff to do. And I just made myself go. Anytime you are feeling that way, by the way, it's just always go. Just make yourself go. You're never going to regret it. And God might just work a miracle, because that's what happened. The pastor got up and he said, someone in here has been tormented by fear. And God wants you to know that he has brought you here tonight to set you free. And I burst into tears because I knew it was me. It was me. God planned a whole church around me. Have you ever had that experience where you go to church and you're like, I don't know who gave this guy insider information on my private life, but everything is about me. I don't think that actually happens, but God's kind of cool like that, the way he works. So they did this thing at the end of the service called an altar call, which is a chance. They give you a chance at the end sometimes in church land where you can come up to the front if you want to physically respond and say, like, a public declaration, like, yeah, me, I'm it, that was for me, I need to do something. So there was an altar call. I came forward to the altar, and I felt Jesus push the darkness away from me. And I've never battled with it since. There are moments that fear has come in, but never has it tormented me anymore. It is gone. So fear lost some power that night. Remember that man I told you about, the bad man, the man I hated. I hated him, and I was so afraid of him. Well, me new Jesus-loving person, 16 years old, working at McDonald's. I was a shift manager. It was really busy, and I looked up at the screen, and it said there was a quarter pounder with cheese meal with a Diet Coke. I remember that. I grabbed it. Burst out the drive-thru window to hand out the order. And I didn't even know the time was about to stop in that moment. And that I was about to experience my first supernatural miracle. At least in this area. I locked eyes and it was him. I hadn't seen him for years. It was the man, the bad man. And I didn't feel afraid. I felt like a lion. I felt like a lion came out of me. I felt like a beam of light was shining on my iceberg heart and just melting away the hate. And I'm like, what is going on? This has nothing to do with me. I am not making this happen. I felt filled with love and forgiveness and compassion. In an instant. That's why I believe in the supernatural, instant, miraculous work of God. I've experienced it too many times. Things sometimes feel so impossible. And God can just like, bleh, done. Like, God is so amazing. It doesn't always. Forgiveness does not always work that way. In fact, I haven't had it work that way since. But man, I locked eyes with the man. And you know what I saw? Fear. Fear of God when he looked at me. That was cool. I don't think I'm an intimidating person, especially with my goth makeup and a visor at McDonald's. I saw the fear of God. So fear lost a whole lot of power that day. My broken family. I know that there are definite consequences of the pains of this world, divorce being one of them, and I feel them to this day. But when I met Christ, God started working all that pain and all that hurt and all that loneliness and all that fear into a million beautiful stories of redemption. This is one of them right now, this moment. Whatever good happens tonight is a beautiful story that came out of my pain. And I am so thankful from the bottom of my heart for everything I've been through. I wouldn't trade it for anything because God's able to make things work together so much better than they ever even would have been before, through pain. So fear has lost a lot of power through his redemption of my broken heart over my family. I think all these experiences, that have come and gone in my life have just kind of shaped who I am. I don't like fear. I hate fear. I run from fear. I don't like the feeling of being afraid. I don't like haunted houses. I don't like the darkness. I'm like, to me, fear, playing with fear is like negotiating with terrorists. It's like if you have an issue with pornography, which probably some of you do, I mean, statistically. It's like you shouldn't watch stuff that you would be tempted by. Not that anyone should, but especially like maybe someone that struggles with pornography, you probably shouldn't watch movies with sexual content. No one should, really. I mean, none of us need to be like feasting our eyes all over that, but it's negotiating with a terrorist. You want to negotiate with a terrorist or do you want to be free? So that's how it is for me with fear. So whatever. I don't like being afraid. Here's how this message came to be. My husband went out of town a few months ago for a few days. And I was laying there in bed and it was time. I'd worked really hard and I got a ton of stuff done because that's what you do when your husband's out of town because you don't have to like emotionally take care of them or anything. You just like do whatever you want to do. So I was doing what I wanted to do and oh, time to go to bed. Can't turn off the light because I'm afraid of the dark. I was so tired, and I was overcome by fear. I'm afraid. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of fear. I think that night I was actually afraid someone was going to break in and rape me and kill me. But that's what I was struggling with. And so I laid there, not sure who's watching me, God and possibly a chunk of heaven, because I'm that self-absorbed. So, so I'm like, all right, I know you see me. Can't turn off the light. Embarrassed before my father. And I heard this question. I don't want to say for sure it was God, but I'm like 99% sure it was God. This question asked of me, what if you were never afraid of anything? And the reason I think it was God is because it kind of was asked in the same way that Jesus asked questions. If you read the Bible, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When Jesus asks a question, there's kind of like an implied answer that you already know the answer to. So the question and the implied answer that I was hearing is, what if you were never afraid of anything because no child of God needs to live their life in fear? And I was like, oh, good point. So I reached up afraid and I turned off the light and I had a really good night's sleep. That question, it stayed with me the whole next day, all day long, every day. What if you were never afraid? What if I was never afraid? And I started looking for fear all over the place. And I could not believe how often it was coming up. How many things I wasn't doing because I was afraid of something. How many things I was doing because of fear. I know fear as a person. To me, fear is a person. It's a personality. It's a person. But is fear a person? Is it a presence? Is it a spirit? Is it an emotion? Is it a psychological response? There are many great books written on all of these possibilities. And I thought about quoting some of them. I've been reading a book called The Art of Fear. But it's out of my scope of practice to talk to you about all the different things that fear is. I don't know exactly how to define it, but what I do know is that everyone in this room knows what it is and knows what it feels like to be afraid. So even though I can't define it, we'll just go with, you know what it is. That's what I landed on. I don't know what you're afraid of. And maybe you're here tonight. I know there's some people are like, yeah, fear's not really my thing. Like, I hit the bottle. That's my deal. I don't know. That was me. I'm porn girl. Like, I get it. I don't think that's true, though. I bet fear is in all of your life in some way or other, whether you recognize it or not. See, I don't. Have you guys seen Wonder Woman? Yeah. I want to think of myself as Wonder Woman because she's, like, so rad. Like, I want to be like, yeah, just, like, all leather, and I just kill things and whip things and I don't know. But this is the truth. Like, I'm like, yeah, I don't need an epidural. I just want to be one of those women. But I've had 4 children and 6 epidurals. Like, that's... I'm like, I think of myself and I picture, as much as, you know, just disregard all the nightmares, like a soft little kitten with a fleece blanket with snowflakes falling around it and like soft music. That's my natural state. Some of you are warriors. Stacy Cardosa, you scare me. Ashley, she's not a fearful person. I'm not looking at her right now because I don't want to see what her face is doing. All I know is I know some people are naturally gifted by God with amazing courage. And I didn't get that one. But I think we're all afraid of something. So I don't know, when you think of fear in your life, I know some of you have already had the things bobbing up to your mind, what you're afraid of. Let's think about King David. King David came to my mind. Okay? These are all just off the top of my head. So, are you afraid of losing a child to death? David had a baby die. Are you afraid of receiving God's grace and favor because you have aborted a baby and don't think that you are worthy? David murdered an innocent man. Have you cheated on your spouse emotionally, physically, pornographically, and you're afraid of being caught? David was an adulterer, and he got caught in a super cool way, by the way. You should Google that story. It's kind of awesome. Are you afraid of having authority or accepting leadership or being promoted in leadership because of the pressure? David was a boy shepherd who got promoted to a king, and everyone thought he was unqualified. Are you afraid of getting too close to people and letting them love you? David was loved by many. He even had like a buttload of wives. He had like 8 wives that are recorded and implied many more. I looked it up. Are you afraid because you're physically ill? Or physically weak, do you live in fear? David was weak. He almost died. Are you afraid of your mind? Your mental state? Depression? Anxiety? Suicide? Read the Psalms. David was like, if you Google like David and King David and bipolar, like seriously, he had some issues in his head. Are you afraid of public speaking? David did that. Are you afraid of wild beasts? David found those. Are you afraid of giving God passion and pursuing him relentlessly because your spouse might mock you or does mock you? David had a spouse that mocked him. She was like, you look like a fool when you worship God. That's what she said. I mean, sort of like that. And he said, it's a really cool story too. He's like, I will become even more undignified than this. You tell that woman. So yeah, these are just, were off the top of my head when I wrote them down, but there's probably more. My point is, I think King David, who, P.S., Jesus came, the messianic line through King David, probably represents most of the fears we could come up in this room on some level. I didn't look it up, but I think he even mentioned snakes a few times. So what does David say about his fear? This is my only verse tonight, which makes me feel like a bad speaker, but this is all I have. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I want you to memorize it. That's why I did one-liner. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. I can't really think of a time in the Bible where God encourages us to run away from fear. In fact, it kind of seems like he's usually pushing us toward it. We're encouraged to run away from stupidity and foolishness and evil. not from fear. We're encouraged to fear him. And if that idea of fearing God, if that's unsettling to you, because I know that is to a lot of people, what I want to say to you is that fear is no better steward of your trust than your loving Father. He deserves your fear because he's God. God is God. You are not God. I am not God. Fear is not God. God is worth our fear, our reverence, our awe. He kind of has all the power. And the good thing is God is good and he's gracious and he doesn't force himself on anyone. He doesn't force people to worship him. But we are all worshiping something. We're all putting our trust in something. And I'm so excited. I get to tell you that Jesus wants you to put your trust in him. Fear God. Don't fear fear. I have one really, really clear message for you tonight. All that other stuff was just stuff I came up with. I mean, I hope the Lord led me. But this is the one thing that I know I'm supposed to say to you. Fear is always asking the question, what if? What if? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? What if? But I think God wants you to know tonight that he is asking you the same question. What if you trust me? What if you trust me? What if you trust me? What if you put your faith in me? What if? Don't try something new. Don't pursue a God-given dream because what if you fail? Fear. What if you do trust God with your God-given dream and God's kingdom grows because you brought it to earth as it is in heaven? God's asking what if. Don't give your kids freedom because what if they embarrass you or fail or get hurt? Fear. What if you do trust God with your children, giving them freedom, and they succeed and they choose God because you let them fail? Don't search your heart for significance, because what if you do? What if you really, really finally take a look inside and you discover that you don't actually matter? Fear. What if you do search your heart for significance and you find out that God has had his eye on you since he laid the foundations of the world? Don't pray. Don't pray about all the little things. Don't pray, because what if God can't hear you and doesn't actually care? Fear. What if you do pray and God does some amazing things to prove himself to you just because he loves you? Don't turn off the light because what if just shows up in the darkness? What if you do turn off the light and you just get a really good night's sleep? You better not trust your husband. So what if he cheats on you? What if he cheats on you again? Fear. What if you do and trust your husband over to God and he loves you more because of it? Don't let people in. Don't be vulnerable. What if they don't like you when they get to know you? What if you do let people in and they are able to see and call out treasures in you that you didn't even know were there? Don't get involved in a church because what if they ask you to do something and it takes your time? What if you do go to church and even get involved and they even ask you to do something, and instead what you find is a lifetime of friendships and relationships that when beep hits the fan, you actually have community and a support system to walk you through it. Don't be a generous person, because what if you run out of money for yourself and resources? Fear. What if you do trust God with your money and he blows your mind with how generous he is back to you? What if? Don't confess your sins to someone, because what if they judge you and talk bad about you behind your back? What if you do confess your sins and God sets you free and you don't have that stronghold in your life anymore? Don't go to a counselor, because what if it's a waste of your time and money and it doesn't work? What if you do go to a counselor and God sets you free of all your issues and gives you some healing and restoration through the wisdom that a counselor might have? Don't submit to your husband as the leader of your family, because what if he sucks it up and doesn't do it right? What if you honor your husband's position as the head of your family and he rises to the occasion, and does more than he ever could have done and becomes more than he ever could have become if it weren't for you encouraging him and helping him? God's ways are way better than our ways. I just hope you hear this question tonight. Look for fear in your life. And just know when you experience a what if that God is right there asking you the same question. And he does not want you to run away from fear. He wants you to fear him. And here's what's tricky about all this, because some of this stuff's going to happen. These bad things, like your what, a lot of those what ifs, like, some of them happen. I cannot promise you that any of our kids won't die. I can't promise you your spouse won't cheat on you. I can't promise you the bad things don't happen in the darkness. I can't. I do know that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And I would rather risk fearing God and pursuing him and looking for a miracle all the time than living this one shot at this one life I have, cowarding in fear the whole time and never getting to experience the revolutionary, miraculous grace that can come in a moment all the time. God wants us to take our Father's hand when we are afraid and look fear in the eye and tackle it together. And he wants to give us a new what if. Fear involves torment. Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus asks us to get out of the boat. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. I looked up, those are some things the Bible says, even though I didn't have verses on slides for them. I looked up how many times God talks about fear and commands people to either fear him or not be afraid, and I just couldn't get a straight answer out of Google. So it's like a lot, hundreds, okay? It's a big deal to God that we not be a slave to fear. So what are you afraid of tonight in this room? What are you afraid of? We have some choices to make. And now we're going to do something really cool. We're going to do a time of seeking the Lord. We're not going to do small groups tonight, so all of you introverts can take a deep sigh of relief. We're going to have the worship team come up, and in a minute and just play some music for us. There's a piece of paper on your seat. I looked those things I just read, fear involves torment, perfect love casts out fear, all that. I put the scripture references and I put the verses on there. Also Psalm 34:4. The whole psalm is so awesome. I put the whole thing on there. So there's a bunch of scripture on your piece of paper. There's also some questions that you can reflect on and seek the Lord on. I just want you to spend some time with Jesus right now. But if for whatever reason you feel like you are uncomfortable with that or not ready for that or something, or you need some ministry, we wanted to make that available to you as well. So here's what we're going to do. We have Joe Sort, Aubrey, Ladina, and Petra. They're going to go stand in the back of the sanctuary in between those tables somewhere. I think they have name tags on, but I don't know that for sure. And if you just need someone to pray for you or pray with you, they want to pray for you. So also, if the ushers can get ready, because I'm going to ask you for money in a second. If you don't just need prayer, but you need some actual like hands-on ministry, you need someone to talk to, you need advice, you need help, you need counsel, Andrea, Aaron, and Paula are going to be outside the double doors, out where you got your food in the lobby, and they would love to talk with any of you who just need someone to talk to. They're very resourceful women who are able to help you, whatever your struggle or your deal is tonight. So we're going to do that for a few minutes. For those of you who don't need someone to pray with or don't need ministry, just spend some time. Like, we're here. It's quiet. There's no kids here, which is one reason it's so awesome. And we can just, like, be with Jesus for a minute. But like I said, I was going to ask you for money. Here's why. I say that without any shame. I'm really excited about something. There are costs involved in putting on this event, obviously. But we are doing things a little different in the money this year. What we're doing is every HER event that we do, we have adopted an organization or a ministry that we want to bless just from the Women's Ministry of Fellowship Church. Something that we want to show our community that we are not just about what happens inside this building as a church, that we care and love people. So we're going to pass the buckets in a little bit, and you can put your connection card in there, into the bucket. Make sure, if you're a first-time visitor, that you mark on there as well, because we want to enter you into the drawing for the $25 gift cards to Real Deals. Woo-hoo! So you can put the connection cards in the buckets, and then the money that we will take in tonight will go to, this is a free event. You are not required to give, okay? Please don't think I'm saying you have to give. You do not have to give, okay? But if you so desire, the money that we bring in will cover the costs of what it took to put tonight on. But beyond that, whatever we receive, we're going to be giving to an organization called Liberty House. It's a nonprofit. It's a local house, and I don't want to misquote them. I wrote it off their mission statement. They provide assessment, counseling, and support for children of families facing concerns of child abuse, neglect, trauma, or grief. And we're just going to send them. It's not a Christian organization. It's just a nonprofit that does awesome work that really is needed. So we're going to send them a card from Fellowship Church, just saying, "God bless you. We wanted to bless what you do." And I think that's pretty awesome. So I would encourage you to give and give generously. But I do want to make one mention. As far as all the food that was brought here tonight, our leadership has stepped up in such a big way. The leaders that have put this event on, they all provided the food. They like brought, everybody just pitched in. We did potluck style. We did soups and salads. And so your leaders have provided the food. So there's not a ton of overhead to cover this event. And I have a friend who is so awesome and owns all of the Great Harvests in Salem. And she believes in what we're doing and wanted to encourage me. And so she donated all of that bread, fresh baked this morning from Great Harvest. So we didn't have to pay for the bread either. So that's awesome. So I would have go ahead, ushers, do your ushering thing. I don't know how to tell you how to do that. You know how to do your job. I don't know how to do your job. Anyway, and then we're going to pass those buckets, and then we're going to spend some time seeking the Lord. And these beautiful girls are going to lead us in some more worship. That was pretty awesome, huh? Having worship at this event, that was cool. Hey, while they're passing the buckets and you're fumbling, I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're amazing. And I pray for every person who is listening online or in this room tonight that you would reveal your goodness to them, that you would show them why you are worth their trust. And I know, God, that you ask us to take a step. You step down from heaven, and you just ask us to take a little step at a time, trust you a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, as we learn to recognize your voice. God, you set me free from fear, so I know you can set these women free from fear, and I pray for them. I pray that you would do what you did for me, that you would push back the darkness in their life, and that you would cause whatever that whole lion thing that came out of me, that would happen to them, that they would become courageous warriors for you, even if they're like me and they're timid and they're afraid of everything and they think that they're weak. Show them, God, that your power is made perfect in weakness. That you use the weak things to shame the strong, the foolish things to shame the wise. You're like the opposite, God. You work miracles. Wherever we are at tonight, wherever these ladies are, however broken, hurting, or fearful they feel, you are the mighty deliverer that can save, heal, restore, and completely change us from the inside out. And there's so much faith in this room right now, God, for you to do that. And I'm pretty sure you said if we put our faith in you that you'll like make up for it and you'll do amazing things. And we know, God, without faith, it's impossible to please you. There's so much faith here for you to completely work miracles. Lord, if these women, if they need ministry, tell them to get up and get some ministry. If they need prayer, move their hearts. But Lord, more than anything, we ask Jesus that you would minister to our hearts. We love you, and we want to see your kingdom come on earth and your will be done as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fconline.tv/give.